Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Ayin Vav and Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with discussing the Mishnah. The Gemara has an example or a case in the Mishnah which says, Ganav v'higdish v'akrakach tavachu machar. So our Mishnah, this is in a series of Mishnayot discussing when a person is chayav for a dalad v'hei and cases that they are pturim for a dalad in hay. In this instance, if he's going to have the animal, then he's makdish the animal, and then he's tovechu machar, our Mishnah says that he's patur mi dalad v'hei. So now the Gemara wants to know, why is that the case? Now, Imri Bishlama v'tvicha lo mechayev, when it comes to shechting the animal, he's not chayav, d'chi katavach, d'hekdesh katavach. When he actually is shechting the animal, it now belongs to Hekdesh. He was magdish the animal. When he shechts the animal, it's Hekdesh's animal that he's shechting, not the original owner's. And in order to be chayav dalad v'hei, you need to actually shecht the original owner's animal. You have to be gonev it, and then shecht it while it's still, quote-unquote, in his ownership before it's transferred ownership to a different party. So I understand why by tvicha you potter from Hekdesh, but v'lo kamari katavach, and he's not shechting that, but it belongs to the owner. Ela Hekdesh l'chayev. Right, but when it comes to Hekdesh itself, when he's makdish the animal, fine, if he shechts it after it's Hekdesh, then there's nothing to talk about. But why in the process of Hekdesh itself does he not become chayav? Why? Mali mecharo lehejot, mali mecharo leshamayim. Why should it make a difference if he sells it to his friend or he sells it to Hekdesh? Then we have a transference of ownership over here. When we talk about mecharo, the chiyuv in after you steal and then sell it, is because you're actually transferring ownership away from the owner. You stole it, and now you're selling it away from the owner. So also over here, you should have the same issue. And when it comes to Hekdesh, you've stolen the animal, and now you're transferring ownership to Hekdesh. So by transferring ownership to Hekdesh, that should be the equivalent of selling it to a third party, to a layperson. As Rashi points out over here, the case must be a case where there was the Achar Yeush. Right, it has to be after the time that the Balim, the original owner, has gave up hope of getting the item back, because then that's the only way that Hekdesh actually takes possession of the item or of the animal. Meaning that the owner cannot be makdish the animal, as we said before, on the principle of Yochanan, because he's the owner without control. And the Ganav cannot be makdish the animal because he controls it but doesn't own it. But there are ways where the Ganav can take control and ownership, and that's what's called Yeush and Shinoi Rishut. I mean, there is a machlokas earlier on the Gemara. We saw some people say Yeush Kadekani, that Yeush by itself is enough, but the way we pass an Alocha and the mainstream opinion is that Yeush plus Shinoi Rishut or some other Shinoi creates the ownership over here. So this Ganav who stole it, then the Abalim, the owners, give up hope of getting it back, and then he gives it, then he can be Makdish it, in a sense, because that transference of ownership or that creating of Hekdesh allows Hekdesh to take possession of the animal, and they're taking possession of the animal. Now, number one, when you shecht it, it's not the original owners, so your shechita doesn't make you chayav dal behei. But now the Gemara's question is, when you give it to Hekdesh, that should be the equivalent of selling it to another party. It's a Shinoi Rishus. If a Shinoi Rishus means you're changing ownership. There's a kinyan by Hekdesh, right? We have Amir L'Gvoah, K'mesira L'Hejot, that when you speak things that you say about Hekdesh, when you're makdish something, it's equivalent to creating a kinyan when it comes to other parties. So over here, when you're makdish the animal, and the ganav is makdish the animal, it's equivalent to making a kinyan, being makneh to a third party, to a layperson. So that should be considered mechira. So then you have gneva and mechira, and you should be chayev dalid vehe. So Mar says, Hamani, who's the author of this position in the Mishnah? It's Rabbi Shimon. The Amar, we know Rabbi Shimon because he's later on in the Mishnah. It's Amar kochim shechayev v'achriyutam b'shutei demari kaimi. When you have kochim come in different forms, meaning that generally this distinction is drawn actually between Nidarim and Nidavot. And Nidavah is that you actually designate a certain animal that you're going to give to the Mikdash, and it's that animal alone that is given to the Mikdash. If it gets lost, gets stolen, something happens to the animal, you don't have to replace it. On the other hand, if someone is obligated to bring something personally, meaning that the Gavra is obligated, for instance, in a Neder. A person takes a Neder to bring a Korban to the Mikdash, in that instance, he must then replace. If he designates the animal to fulfill his neder, if that animal is lost, he must replace it. So same thing, this is what Rabbi Shimon says over here. When you have a korban where you're going to be responsible to replace it, it remains in your possession. Why? Because your money is on the hook. This animal, if it gets lost, you're responsible for it. You're still responsible for this animal. So even though you're makdishit, it still remains in your possession. So that's the answer to the question here. How come when you're makdishit, it doesn't consider to transfer it to ownership? Well, this is according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you're makdish an animal, when it's only in the sense that you're makdishit and you're still responsible for it, because like a neder and it's chayav v'achriyutan, in that instance, you really haven't given up ownership. You still have a monetary responsibility towards this animal or towards Hekdesh, and that makes you an owner here. Now, you have to formulate it, as Rashi points out over here, you have to formulate it that there's actually is some transference in ownership, but not total transference of ownership. Why? Because at this point, we're going to say that if he's toveach it, if he shechts the animal, then it's considered to be toveach of hekdesh. It's not belonging to the original owner. Whereas now, if we said it's sold, it's still his. It's the ganav's animal, because he hasn't really sold it entirely. The Rashi said, strikes that delicate balance between the two, and we're saying, the af agav debishu ganav kaima, even though now it's in the position of the ganav, mean the avdo chayv bachriutan. If it's lost, the ganav now must replace it, because he was makdish it, he's chayv bachriutan, so therefore, he must replace it to hekdesh, but, so therefore, it's not considered a sale, it's not considered a transfer of ownership. Mia, on the other hand, chaleleha shem hekdesh. That the shame of hekdesh still comes here, lafuke mishut marakamo. That it removes it from the original owner. So what you have now is when he's makdish the animal, it does not transfer it to the ownership of hekdesh. Yet on the other hand, it removes it from the original owner's ownership. So it'll be enough of a removal from the original owner's ownership so that you, if you shecht it, you will not be chayav dal behe. On the other hand, it's not enough of a transfer of ownership to hekdesh because the ganav still has responsibility here that will not be classified as a mechira. So now the Gemara solved the problem. Who's the author of the Mishnah? It's Rabbi Shimon. But the problem is, later on in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is mentioned explicitly in our Mishnah. If Rabbi Shimon is mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah later on, it can't be that he's the author of the positions before that. Then make the whole Mishnah Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon only show up later in the Mishnah? Now, it must be here that we're talking about Kodshim Kalim, Balibet Rabbi Yossi Aglili. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we've discussed the opinion in many other places, including early on in the Masechta. When it comes to Kodshim Kalim, they remain in the possession of the owners, and they are responsible, and they can use it for their own, in a sense, personal needs. I mean, it still has monetary value to the owners. It's korbanot come in different forms that are brought on the Mizbeach. They come in kodshei kodashim and kodshim kalim. Right, they have two forms, kodshei kodashim, right? Right, things like the olah, the chatat, the asham. Kodshim kalim are things like shlamim, todah, pesach. Those have a din of kodshim kalim. So Rabbi Yossi draws a distinction. The Rabbanim disagree. The Rabbanim believe both kodshei kodashim and kodshim kalim belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belong to Hekdesh, and Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu, and really, you're only getting any benefit or anything that you get from this animal is really coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Glee draws a distinction between Kodshei Kodashim and Kodshim Kalim. By Kodshei Kodashim, he says that you're right, that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that belongs to Hekdesh, and Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu, whereas when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, they remain in the possession of the owners. Since the owners have responsibility, since the owners have a monetary interest here, and are going to get some of this animal back in the end, they remain the owners of this animal. So that will solve our problem over here. If it was makdish the animal for kochim kalim, then it remains in the possession of the original owner according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So if he's the author of our Mishnah, we can now explain why when he gives it over to hekdesh, is that not the equivalent of a mechira, the equivalent of a kinyan that you make him chayv d'alvehei? That's because it never really leaves his ownership. When it's in kochim kalim, it remains in your ownership. But again, we have to formulate, Rashi's going to have to formulate it again, that it's not a mechira, but it's still enough of a transference of ownership that it removes it from the original owner. So that, again, the original, if he shechs it now, it will not be considered a shechita that will be mechayv yudal vehei, because it's left the ownership of the original owner. How did it do that? Because you were makdishit. On the other hand, it's not enough of a hekdesh that it actually transferred entirely to the ownership of hekdesh, because the ganav is, in a sense, the baal ha-kodshim kalim. He's still the owner of the kodshim kalim, so we have this animal that in a in-between ownership state, almost in a quasi-twilight ownership state, it's enough removed from the original owner that's not tvicha that will be mechayv dal vehei, but it's also not enough of a transfer of ownership that we have a mechira here. Rashi brings an alternative shot about what the tvicha is, an explanation in within the concept of Yossi Aglili, and then he rejects it. Now the Gemara says, okay, according to this, based on what you're saying now, aval kochei kodashim mai, what would be the din by kochei kodashim? According to this, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that he would have to be mishalim tashlumi david chamisha. He would have to pay four or five times because that would be a full mechira. The ganav was makdishit for kochei kodashim, ola, chatat, asham, that are kochei kodashim. In that instance, he would have to then pay dollar behei, because now he did a gneva and a mechira. The mechira was giving it over to the hekdesh. Now Gemara says, wait a minute, if that's the case, wait, we just had Mishnayot. The previous two Mishnayot are trying to lay out different circumstances. Some circumstances where you're chayv for dollar behei, and other circumstances where you are patur from dollar behei. So if you wanted to draw that distinction, we could have made such a much finer distinction. Our Gemara before, when it distinguished between the two, it said the first Mishnah said, if you're gonev, mocher, toveach, and then makdish, then you're chayv dollar behei. On the other hand, if you're gonev, then makdish, and then toveach u'mocher, you're patur from dal behei. Why go through that, moving around when he did the hekdesh? We could have made a finer distinction, says, even if he's gonev and makdishit, It'll be a depend on what he's makdish. If he's makdish of the kochim kalim, then he's patur from dalvehe. If he's makdish for koche kadashim, then he would be chayv dalvehe. So why doesn't the Mishnah draw that distinction instead of a much wider distinction? So let's see that inside. So when it says, adatani reisha gonov v'tovach v'achar kach higdish mishalim toshum v'dalvehe liflok v'lidnebedida. Draw the distinction in a finer way right from our case over here. V'med v'im omurim v'koche kalim. When are you patur from dalvehe? That's with koche kalim. Aval v'koche kadashim. When it comes to koche kadashim, those types of karbanot, mishalim toshum v'chamisha. Ella, the olam. So that can't be. Rabbi Yosef clearly can't be the author of Mishnah because you would have drawn a much finer distinction. Ella loshana koche kadashim, loshana koche kalim. Right? It doesn't matter. Whatever your makdish, it's not classified as a mechira. I says, okay, if it's not classified as a mechira, what are you going to do with our original question? No, the koshalach mali mecharo lehejot, mali lecharo leshamayim. What's the difference between selling it to a hejot and selling it to a kadosh baruch? I mean, being makdishit. Why aren't you chayv dalvehe for that? That is because there's a big difference. When it's mecharo lehejot miikara tor derivein mashta tor deshimon. When you sell it to a third party, there's actually a transference of ownership in the sense that prior to this point in time, it was owned by the ganav Ruvain, and now it's sold to Shimon. When Shimon buys it, it's called the shore of Shimon, and it's no longer called the shore of Ruvain. So now we have a transference, a mechira that transfers ownerships. On the other hand, mecharo leshamayim, when you're a makdishan animal, mikara tor derivein vahashta tor derivein, the name on the animal doesn't really change in the sense that after you makdish the animal, we still call it the Ola of Ruvain. We still call it the Asham, or the or the Hatat, or even the Shlamim. It's always still called over after the name of the Baalim. So you're talking about transference of ownership, there's still a partial or residual ownership by the original owner in this item, because his name is still associated with this animal. So since his name is still associated with the animal, there's not a true mechira here when you are makdish the animal. And again, you're going to have to say that it's enough of a transference of ownership in the sense that if you're toveach it, if you shechted it now, that would not be classified or qualify as a tvicha for dalabahay, because it's left the possession of the original owner. But it's not enough of a transference of ownership in the sense that now Hekdesh has total control and total ownership on it, because then you would be chayav for mecharo. The fact that you're not chayav mecharo shows that there's still residual ownership by the ganav here. And that residual ownership of the ganav here is what prevents him from being able to, or being chayav in dalet v'hei over here. Tosfos points out over here, two quick things that Tosfos points out over here. When you're talking about Torah de Shimon, he says, later on the Gemara says, if you're ganav, v'gdish, that you're chayav dalet v'hei, because it's like selling it to a hedyot. The Gemara further on says that explicitly. He says you have to distinguish between koche berek abayit and koche mizbeach. When it comes to koche berek abayit, when it comes to being makdish things for monetary value or the monetary use of hektesh, then there's full transference of ownership. Your name is no longer associated with the animal. When it comes to koche mizbeach, your name is still associated with the animal because you are the balim. You're the owners of this korban. And by being the owners of the korban, you have certain rights and you have certain abilities to determine who brings it for you, how it's brought, when it's brought. So that is a residual ownership, and that residual ownership is enough to prevent it from being called a full mechira. There is a very famous Reb Chaim here that tries to explain the difference between Koche Bedek Abayik and Koche Mizbeach. It says it on the Tosos here in Ayin Vav, and also there's a Tosos, a similar Tosos on Ayin Tedem and Aleph. We can repeat it when we get there. Reb Chaim distinguishes between how Bedek Abayit works and how Koche Mizbeach works. He says, when it comes to Koche Bedek Abayit, why are they Kodesh? The reason they're Kodesh is because they're owned by Hekdesh, meaning that it's a transaction. You are giving something to Hekdesh. You're giving him money, a monetary object, and then you're transferring your ownership to Hekdesh. So when you transfer the ownership to Hekdesh, once Hekdesh becomes the owners of the item, that is what makes it Hekdesh. On the other hand, when it comes to Koche Mizbeach, there's no transference of ownership, because who exactly are you making, who are you being makne to? You can't be makne Koche Mizbeach to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's no such concept as a kinyan over here. So why are Koche Mizbeach Kodesh? So he says that's exactly it. When you make something Koche Mizbeach, that amira that you do is Mesirah Tel Hejo. But why is Mesirah Tel Hejo? Because when you're makdish the animal to Koche Mizbeach, then you create a semblance or a form of Hekdesh on the animal. That Hekdesh makes it Osur Bihana'a. Once it's Mukdash, and it has the shame Hekdesh on it, it now becomes Osur Bahana. So that's why Hekdesh owns it. Hekdesh owns it because no one else is allowed to get benefit for it. The only use for this animal now is Hekdesh. So based on that distinction, we can understand now why Tosos says it's different when you're Magdish to Beit HaKabayit versus being Makdish LeMizbeach. When you're Makdish LeBeit HaKabayit, you have a normal transaction. You have a monetary transition from you to Hekdesh. And that's why it becomes Kodesh. But that transition is a full transition of ownership. And that's why you'll be Chayiv Dal Veheg, because it'll be the equivalent of doing a Neva and then Mechira. But when it comes to Kodesh Mizbeach, there really isn't any transference of ownership. What happens is that you declare this animal to be Hekdesh. Once you declare it to be Hekdesh, now you're responsible to get it to the Mikdash, responsible to get it on the Mizbeach. Does Kodesh own it? Kodesh owns it only in the sense that nobody else can get benefit from it because of your distinguishing or declaring of this animal to be Kodesh, that now is Mafkia everybody else's rights, including your rights in some sense to this animal, and only Hekdesh could benefit from it. But in the end, you're still the one responsible to bring it. You're still the quote-unquote owner of this animal that needs to bring the karban in the Mikdash. So based on this distinction of Reb Chaim, we can understand why Tosfos distinguishes between Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Beit HaKabayit. The other thing that he points out over here is that when we say that he's Gonevit and then he's Makdishit, that is Yeush and Shini Rishut, meaning that that's enough of a Shini Rishut that the Hekdesh actually works over here. If there was no Shini Rishut, then the Ganav never took possession of it. If he never took possession of it, he can't make it into Hekdesh. So you have to say that there's Yeush, the Balim gave up, and the Hekdesh is enough of a Shini Rishut that he Ganav takes full control or ownership over it, and that he can be Makdishit. On the other hand, it's not enough of a controller or giving over control to Hekdesh that it becomes Hekdesh's entirely. It's still a residual ownership by the Ganav. The last thing that Tosfos points out, which is important over here, that this Gemara is all according, this Sugi over here is all according to Rabbi Yochanan, and not according to Reish Lakish, because earlier on, the Gemara discussed about Hekdesho in the first Mishnah, and the Gemara wanted to know what was the case of Hekdesho Balim. And the Gemara on Samachet Amud Bet has a machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, what's the case? And now, the Gemara agrees that Lifnei Yayush, before the Balim give up their rights to reclaim the animal, they haven't given up hope of getting it back. Both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree that you're chayav. If you shech the animal in that instance, if you go ahead and mocher the animal in that instance, you're going to be chayav. On the other hand, on the achar yeyush, if we're talking about after the balim have given up hope, there's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish believes over there that when it comes to the achar yeyush, you're already patur. After the balim give up hope, yeyush is enough. Yeyush is koneh. And once Yeush is koneh, then you're tvacho mecharo, your own animal. You're being toveach mecher, your own animal. So if Yeush by itself is enough of a kinyon, right, that maybe that should be sufficient, if that is sufficient, to take it out of the ownership of the balim, then again, once you're toveach mecher, it doesn't really have any implications because you're being toveach mecher, your own thing, or if you makdish the animal, it's already out of the possession of the original owner. But according to Rabbi Yochanan believes even the achar Yeush, you still need another item, like shinoi rishut, you need something to happen that has transference of ownership to have the Shina Rishut along with the Yeush make you Chayav. So that's what we're looking for over here. We're looking for, we have Yeush, and now we're looking for the Mechira to Hekdesh, the selling it to Hekdesh to generate that second stage of Shina Rishut. That's only necessary according to Rabbi Yochanan, whereas according to Reish Lakish, that's not necessary because Yeush by itself would be sufficient to create that Kinyan. Now the Gemara continues with Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which distinguishes between Kodshim Shechayav Ve'achriyutan and Kodshim Shein Chayav Ve'achriyutan. So the Gemara now assumes that Rabbi Shimon's addressing what the Mishnah, or the Hekdesh part of the Mishnah that we just discussed. In that part we said that you're not Chayav Ve'tficha because it's out of the Reshut Marei Kamel, that it's left the ownership of the original owner, and therefore when he's Toveach, he can't be Chayav Dal Behe. And when it comes to Mechira, it's not a real Mechira, because we said with Kodshim is Be'ach, when you give it or you're Makdishit, you give it over to Hekdesh or your Makdishit, that is not remove it from your ownership. So there really is no transaction or no move from your, the Ganav, over into Hekdesh's possession. So if that's the way Rabbi Shimon holds, then Rabbi Shimon draws a distinction between Chayav Yachutan and Lo Chayav Yachutan. That should come to the opposite conclusion of what Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah. Imri. There's no difference between selling it to a hedjot or selling it to shamayim. Ipcha mibayle. Then he should have come to the opposite conclusion. Kodshim shechayv v'achrutan patur. In a case where it's kodshim that you have a residual obligation to replace the animal if it's stolen or it doesn't reach, or lost and doesn't reach hekdesh, then in that case you'd be patur. Da'katilo nafik mirshutei. That it hasn't left your possession. Again, it's left the possession of the, it's enough that it's enough of a transference of ownership that's left the original owner's possession. If you shech that, you won't be chayav. On the other hand, it's not enough of a transference from you to Hekdesh, and therefore you should be patur. Kodshim she'en chayav b'chutan, kodshim that you have no residual responsibility for, chayav. Demafki le'im yishutei, because then it's totally left your possession. That would be the more logical distinction to be drawn. Why does Reb Shimon say the opposite. So it says, Imir B'Shimon Amil Tachritekai. B'Shimon's not continuing in the Mishnah about what we just discussed in Kodesh, but rather Rabbi Shimon's addressing a totally different issue. V'Achitani, and this is what it means. Ein agonev achar ganav mishalem tashlumei darvehei. A ganav that steals from another ganav does not pay tashlumei darvehei, because we have the principle that we established earlier, which is gonev mimei te'ish. You have to steal from the ish, from the owner. And if you steal from the ganav, you're not chayav, because you're taking it not from the original owner, but from someone now who is in possession of the item. V'chein gonev hekdesh mibet balim. Also, someone who steals hekdesh from the owner's house, patur. My tama v'gonev mibet ish v'lo mibet hakodesh. Right, so you're stealing from the individual himself, from his house, and not from hekdesh. So the assumption is that when it's hekdesh found in his house, he's basically a shomer for hekdesh. It really belongs to hekdesh, and he's just being shomeret. Rabbi Shimon Omer, now Rabbi Shimon says, well, that depends. Kodshim shechayav b'achrutan chayav. When it comes to kodshim that the original owner still has residual responsibility for me, and that if it's lost or taken, he has to replace it now, then the ganav is chayav, because that is gonev mibet ha'ish. You are stealing it from the original owner, because this is what we call gorem lamamon. This animal protects him from having to expend more money to replace his animal. And that's a gorem lamamon, and Rabbi Shimon believes gorem lamamon is kemamon dami, is like actual monetary loss. So you've now caused a monetary loss directly to the owner of the animal, the original owner of the animal. Even now it belongs to Hekdesh, he's still responsible to replace it. And his responsibility to replace it makes it as if you stole it from him. Why? My time, according to baby gonev beit ish. V'she'enu chaya b'chutam, in the case where the balim are not responsible to replace the item, patur. That case, patur, the according to baby gonev beit ish. Because then there's no residual responsibility by the owner. If there's no residual responsibility by the owner, that means that it's all in Hekdesh's possession. If it's all in Hekdesh's possession, then you cannot qualify to fit into the pasuk of gonev mi beit ish. So Mara says, okay, that's nice, but michte shmeinin le'de Rabbi Shimon damar shchita shein ruya lo shma shchita. So now what happens? The ganav goes ahead and steals this animal from the house of the balim. It's a hekdesh animal. He steals it from him, and then he goes ahead and shechs it. If he shechs it, that's what we call shchutei chutz. You're shechting kodshim outside of the mikdash, and shechting kodshim outside of the mikdash are asurim ba'achila, they're asurim ba'hana'a. The person's chayav kares for shchita mechutz le'mikdash. So if that's the case, the shchita that you did is not a valid shchita. And we know Rabbi Shimon's opinion, the Chum disagree, but Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that shchita is only called shchita when it's a shchita ruya. I mean, it produces afterwards something that is nitar, ayodei shchita. I mean, that you can eat it. You can use the animal. Its function as a shchita works. Whereas the Chumim believe that shchita is a process, is an action that even if it doesn't have results, is still called shchita. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't believe that. If that's the case, why when you steal it from the Balim's house, when it's Hekdesh in his house, and you steal it from him and shecht it, why are you going to be chayv dalvehei? That tvicha, that shechting, is not a good shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's a shechita shein ruya, the resultant animal that you have after the shechita is asur be'ana. So Gemara says, comes up with a number of explanations. Here says, Mifta shmeinu Rabbi Shimon damar shechita shein ruya lo shma shechita, kodshim nami shechita shein ruya. This will be a case of shechita shein ruya. So the first answer is from Avdim. Now he actually took the behemoth up to the Mikdash and he shechted in the Mikdash. He did a proper shechita on the animal. L'shem Balim. He did it in the name of the Balim. He went ahead and he took this hekdeshin on behalf of the owners. He went ahead and shechted the animal in the Mikdash. So he brought it as a proper karmat. So that is a shechita haruya. The Gemara says, well, then, Bahari Chazra Karen the Balim. Then basically you've returned the animal to the Balim. Because what was the obligation of the Balim, of the owners? It was to bring this animal to the Mikdash, shecht it, put on the Mizbeach, the shame themselves. So now they basically the Ganav did exactly what the Balim would have had it done. So if that's the case, it's as if he returned it to the Balim. He just executed what the Balim had to do on their behalf. So it's when the dam, when the blood spills afterwards. So he shechted it, it was a kosher shechita, but before you're able to be zorek on the mizbeach, right, then it spills, the blood spills. Now the time that you're nitar from the karban, or the time that the kapara happens to the karban, is the zrikat adam on the mizbeach. So the lack of zrikat adam on the mizbeach makes it so that this animal is not oled the balim. It does not replace, or does not work in favor of the balim to discharge their obligation, their neder, that they have to bring this korban. On the other hand, it's a shechita haruya, because when he shechted it, it was a fine animal, when he shechted it, like, abe mizbeach, to put it on the mizbeach. Another possibility is, kiyata ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan, so ravin explained the name of Rabbi Yochanan, b'shochei timim nifnim shelo l'shem balim. He did it, he actually shechted it b'fnim, he got on the mizbeach, but he did it not l'shem balim. So when he does a roshim balim, even though it's a kosher karban, it's lo alu lechuvah. It doesn't help the balim. It doesn't work for the balim. And if it doesn't work for the balim, then the balim are still obligated. So you haven't returned it to them because they haven't discharged their obligation with regards to this hektesh, and they're going to have to replace it. So even though the ganav has a kosher shchita because it's a kosher karban, nevertheless he still hasn't helped out the balim because the balim now still have to replace this karban. Now, why did Rav Dimi, you have now a difference between Rav Dimi with Rav Yitzchok and Rav Ravin, why don't they disagree? So Tosafot points out the difference between them. The difference between them is that, first of all, you could have said, Tosafot says, Shalod Lishman. You don't even have to say Shalod Lishem Balim. You could also say Shalod Lishma. At times that a Karban also doesn't work for the Balim is if you don't do it, Lishem the Karban, Lishma. You don't do it, Lishem the Karban that it's supposed to be. So it says, well, either it would have been that din, or inami, that's what's called. Shalod Lishman, it means Shalod Lishem Balim. That's a type of Shalod Lishma, means that you don't do it, Lishem Balim. Now he also says, why did each side not agree in these two positions of Rabbi Yochanan? So he says that Ravin didn't want to accept the position of Rabbi Yitzchak because he says that's a dochak, to say that the blood spilled, that's an unusual, far-fetched case. So that's not what he was speaking about. On the other hand, why did Rav Dimi set it up in the other way? He set it up the other way because in the case of Nishpach Adam, you can include all kochim. Whereas according to Ravin's solution, that it says that you did it lo l'shem balim, that only works for some kochim, because when it comes to a chatos, and it comes to a korban pesach, if you do it shlo l'shem balim, then the korban is pasul. Not only is it not ole l'balim, but the korban is pasul. And in that case, you wouldn't have a shkita ruya. So by doing that, by saying it's lo l'shem balim, you've limited the number of korbanot that it applies to. It won't apply to a chatat and a pesach. On the other hand, right, you get around not having to use this dochak solution that nishbach adam. On the other hand, Rav Dimi believes better to say something dochak about nishbach adam rather than to limit it to certain types of kochim. Reish Lakish gives an alternative answer. Now again, Reish Lakish really didn't say it about our sugya, but it's implied from Reish Lakish's position back on Daf Samachet that Reish Lakish amar b'shochet balei mumim b'chutz. It's a case where he was shochet a bal mum b'chutz. It's actually that the animal was hektesh, excuse me, that he stole from the Baalim, but it also had a mum in it. It had a mum in it, so since it has a mum in it, then it's omed liptia. So it's open to be nifteh, to be redeemed. So in that case, it was shochet balimim b'chutz. So that's not shochet kochim b'chutz, because that's what it's supposed to be done with it. You're supposed to shecht it outside the mikdash. So when he shechts it outside the mikdash, then it's okay. That's mutar. Since it's mutar, we don't worry about it. So Toi Bar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says, wait a minute. These answers of Yochanan and Reish Lakish leave out an important fact. I mentioned the fact, but now if you focus on it, it's really a problem, which is that a korban is not nitar le'achila, or a korban does not become a roi korban until you zorek the dam, until you do zrikat adam. That means a failure in zrikat adam makes the korban a failure entirely. If that's the case, even if you did shechita, and then afterwards the blood spilled, if the blood never ends up in this be'ach, then retroactively the shechita was meaningless, because you shechted it for something that will not become a korban. Same thing with Reish Lakish. Wait, Reish Lakish says, oh, go ahead, you can shecht it, because as a mum in it, you can shecht it outside of the mikdash. Once it's a mum, you have to redeem it, and then send the money up to mikdash, and the animal you can eat. But that's only true after you've redeemed it. But before you've redeemed it, you're not allowed to go ahead and shecht the animal. So why, according to Reish Lakish, is it okay to go shecht the animal? First you must redeem it, then you can shecht the animal. Over here, you're shechting the animal and then trying to redeem it afterwards. That's not going to work. So that's what I told you about Rabbi Lazar, so the Rabbi Yochanan, shechita materet, halo zrika materet. What do you mean? Shechita is not the item that makes this ro'ui to be a good karban. It's not the item that makes it a kosher shechita. What makes it kosher is when you do zrika tadam. Reish Lakish, shechita materet. What do you mean shechita outside of the mikdash when it has to be redeemed? That's what makes it mutar now to eat? Lo p'tia materet. You have to redeem it. That's what makes it available to you to eat. So Gemara says, Ishtamate had Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar forgot or left out the position of Rabbi Shimon. It's another position of Rabbi Shimon, which is, it's a position of Rabbi Shimon throughout Shas, that anything that is available or ready to be done, an action that can be done, it's considered as if it's done already. So, for instance, the Gemara in Shavuos has a similar case here with ripe fruits that are on the trees, ripened fruits that are ready to be picked. So the Gemara has a position that by Shavuot, you can't take a Shavuot on Karka. So these fruits that are ripe and ready to be picked, are they considered mechuba the Karka? Are they considered part of the Karka? The Ramanan say, yes, they're part of the Karka, and you can't take a Shavuot on them. Shavuot says, no. What? Anything that's ready to be picked, it's as if it's picked already. Since it's ready to be picked, it's as if it's picked, then these fruits are considered detached from the karka, and you can't take a shvua. So Soto over here, he has the same position. When it comes to Zorek Dam, when it comes to Zorek at the Dam, if it's available to be Zorek, you could have been Zorek the Dam, that's enough to consider as if it was Zorek. Even if it never ends up on the Mizbeach, it qualifies. Once you could have done it, there was a possibility, an Efsharut to do it, that is considered as it's done. Same thing with Ptia. When it comes to redeeming it, if there was a possibility you could redeem it, that's enough to classify it or qualify it as if to be redeemed, as if it was redeemed. Now, there are a number of qualifications, a number of issues we have to deal with here. So let's just explain one of them. That Rabbi Shimon only says this idea of that it's kezorok dami. He only says that b'makom mitzvah. That he only says that it's a makom mitzvah lizrok when it's a mitzvah to be zorek. We don't say it's kezorok dami about anything. We say it about items where there's a reason to take that action. There's a believable reason. There's a reason to go ahead with the action that you would do. Like diyah and zrikah, those are the positive and the normal course of action that a person would take. We don't just say, oh, just because it's here, it's kezorok dami, if it has a negative outcome, or if there's no reason to say that. So we're going to say that. Number one, b'makom mitzvah. Number two is, when we say, kol omid lizrok kezorok dami, right, that we qualify that, that's only after he is mekabel the dam. Right, so that's not that we say as soon as he shechs the animal, the blood's coming up, oh, that's ready to be zaruk. We say, kol omid lizrok dami, it means that you were available. There was an opportunity to do this zrikat adam, meaning that he was mekabel adam in the kli, he accepted all the blood, he was mekabel adam, and then he had time to do the zrika afterwards. So even if he doesn't get to the zrika, at least there was an opportunity or a possibility of doing zrikat adam. If he never does kabbalat adam, if he never gets to the point where it could have been zaruk, then we don't say kol omid lizrok zaruk adam. He has to actually get to the position or point where it would have been possible to do zrika. So those are two important qualifications about kol omid. Kol omid only applies when you have the possibility of doing such an action. And so it has to be right at that moment where it could have been done. It just, there was something that lapsed that didn't allow you to do it. But not that there's other things missing that don't allow you to do it, right? That there's some sort of other ma'akev that doesn't allow you to do the zrika, that we don't say is zaruk dami. The other important thing that is mentioned over here, when Rashi says, v'chol omid liftot kepadui dami, only as application, Rashi says, according to, or in instances where the animal was a mum mi'karo. It was had a mum from the start. It was always had a mum in it, and the person was makdishit, even though it had a mum, so that becomes kodesh, the bedek habayit. On the other hand, if it was kodshim, that he was makdish the mizbeach, and then afterward it developed a mum, even though that animal is omid liptia, that animal is available to be redeemed, nevertheless, Rashi says that won't work. Over here, we don't say chol omid liftot kepadui dami. Why? That has to do with an important principle. Important principle is that, in general, when you have to redeem something from hekdesh, you require what's called hamada varacha. You have to be able to estimate the worth of this animal. You must be able to stand it up and have it estimated by a proper Beis Din or some assessor. So it has to be actually be able to be stood up and assessed its value. So that's true when it comes to this definition or this need from Hamada V'Racha, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Reish Lakish, right? So Machlok is actually in Gemara and Temura about where it applies. But according to Reish Lakish and Rabbi Shimon, who needs to deal with this pigeon over here, that only applies to Koche Mizbeach, but it does not apply necessarily to Koche Bedek Abayit. So if that's the case here, Koche Mizbeach, if it was already Kodesh Mizbeach, and then it developed a mum afterwards, and then you shecht it, right? Once you've shechted it, there's no way to do Amad of Aracha anymore. There's no way, because now it's dead, so there's no way to stand it up to assess its value. If you can't do Amad Aracha, you can't redeem it. So when it comes to Koche Mizbeach, you can never redeem it. See, then you can't say, oh, if it's available to redeem, then it's considered as if it's redeemed. It's not available to be redeemed, so then it can't be considered as if it was redeemed. On the other hand, if the mum was always there, and you're a makdish animal, that's mukdash lebedek abayit. Once it's mukdash lebedek abayit, then it's really mamon hekdesh. It's developed for its assessed value, and you're going to give that money to hekdesh, and the animal's going to come back to you. In that case, there's no requirement of hamad varachos. Therefore, even after you shecht it, you can still get the value assessed, and you can redeem it after shecht. In that instance, we say, cholo omeid liftot kipadui dami. So that's the answer, Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, there's a possibility that you could have Amod of Aracha. Now, this really is an issue that Tosus deals on the previous Amod, and that is that after an animal is shechted, we know this is true today even, that when you shecht an animal, the animal doesn't necessarily die right away. The animal is mefarkes, right? It shoots out, it struggles a little bit, it still has movement in its body until after the animal dies. So at the moment of shechita, it doesn't mean that the animal is necessarily dead. So based on that, Tosus says, why don't I say, in all these instances that these are shchita haruya. All these things can be shchita haruya. Why? Because I can redeem the animal right after I shecht it. So here, take a korban that I'm bringing up to Nikdash. It's kochim mizbeach, right? So I shecht the animal. Right after I shecht the animal, the animal's still moving around. So it still could be, in a sense, stood up and assessed there. That value of the animal could be stood and assessed. You have a psul in this animal now. Why? Because I shechted it. There's no greater psul or mum in an animal than shechita itself. So now I have a mum in the animal. A mum in a kochim mizbeach allows me to redeem it. And now it's standing right in front of us. It's shaking, moving still in front of us. So I should be able to redeem it. So Tosfos says, why isn't that called the shechita haruya? So Tosfos gives one or two possibilities of answer. One answer, he says, this is based on the Gemara, a machlokas in the Gemara in Chulin, about once the shechita is done, is it mutter to eat? So that's a principle that the Gemara there establishes, that even though in general you have to wait, you can't have Eivor Min HaChai, you can't eat something from a live animal, that's only true when the animal is alive. But once you do shechita for a Jew, shechita ends the life of the animal. Even though the animal still has life force in it, it's not considered to be alive. The moment the shechita is over, it's as if the animal is dead or classified as dead, right? Because the shechita ends it. So even though there's really life still in the animal, that's not qualified as life, because shechita ends it. So that's one possibility. That's what Tosfos answers for that opinion. The other opinion says no, that even after shechita, the animal is still classified as alive. So Tosfos says, for that opinion we have to answer that mumim can only come while the animal is alive. That mumim don't apply after misa. There's no such concept as a mum achar misa. And shechita is exactly that. It's a mum achar misa. So that can't apply. You can't have a mum. Mum only applies when it's during the chaim. So Rabbeinu Tam, based on that, says, well, I can come up with a case where you can have hamad varacha. So he disagrees with Rashi in this instance. Rashi says the only time that you can say cholaroi liftot is kapot duidami is when we're talking about an animal that had a mum originally, is only kodesh levet hakabai. But kochim is beach require hamad varacha. Rabbeinu Tam says, I have a case where you can have hamad varacha. The animal shechs the animal, kochim is beach, and the animal's still moving around, still has life left in it. So then you can have hamad varacha, and you can do the pigeon right then. According to that opinion, you could have a cholaroi liftot. So that's according to Rabbeinu Tam. Takes according to that shita, according to the Tosos. One shita in Tosos says it doesn't matter because after shita the animal is dead and there's no way you can redeem it. The other shita says even after shita the animal is classified as being alive and you can't eat from it and you can't classify it as a dead animal until after it stops moving. So according to that opinion, you have a possibility that by kochim mizbeach you could have a moment right after the shechita where you could redeem the animal. And Rabbeinu Tam says, maybe that's the possibility over here of chol roi dot kepodu idami. Now continuing in the Gemara says, it's going to bring proofs to these two positions of Rabbi Shimon Kolomei, the Zerok Zerok Dami, that we say that when you do Zerikas Adam, if you had the possibility of doing it, it's considered as if it's done. The Tanya, we have a brisa that says that in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yesh notar shehu metamei tumat ochlim, yesh notar shehu metamei tumat ochlim. Notar is that which is left over from karbanot, that is beyond the time in which you're allowed to eat the animal, and it's extended beyond that time, it becomes notar, and you have to be nisraf, it has to be burnt in the makom kadosh. So now, what's the case? Where's the case where he has notar and becomes tumat ochlim? Now, tumat ochlim applies to things that you can eat. According to Rabbi Shimon, tumat ochlim only applies to ochel, that is, other people can eat. What does it mean other people can eat? It's something that's not isurei hana. If it's aser behana, nobody's allowed to eat it, then it's not ochel, and then it can never become tamei tumat ochlim. So notar is an item which is asur b'hana. Since it's asur b'hana, I can't have tumat ochlim. The only thing was that it was ochel before it became notar. It was ochel before it became notar. It already has tumat ochlim before it ever became notar. So how do you come up with a case, Rabbi Shimon, where it can be notar without ever becoming ochel? It was never ra'i to yachila, and right away it became notar. It was left over. So what's the case? So ketzad, what's the case? Lan lifnei zrika inu metamei tumat ochlim. If the meat was left over before zrikas adam, then it's not matame tumat ochlim. On the other hand, la'achar zrika, if the meat was left over after zrikat adam, matame tumat ochlim. So again, zrikat adam is what makes it mutar to eat the basar kochim. So if it's before zrikat adam and the meat was left over, then what? Then the kochim are not beheter. If the kochim aren't beheter, right, then it never became ochel, and it went automatically to be notar. And once it's notar, you can't, it's not anybody, nobody can eat it because it's aser b'hana. It never became ochel. This basar was never mutar, it never became ochel. On the other hand, if he did zrikas adam, there was a moment when the notar was ra'i le'achila. Once it was ra'i le'achila, then you can and go ahead and call it an ochel, on that notar will still be except tumat ochlim. The kaimelan, how do we explain this position, Rabbi Shimon? My lifnei zrika, what does it mean lifnei zrika nacha zrika? Lifnei zrika means kodem shnir ev zrika. Doesn't mean literally before he did zrika, but before he had the opportunity to do zrika, meaning that he had no possibility of doing zrika. La'acha zrika, what does it mean after zrika? La'acha shnir ev zrika. Right, so it means after he had the opportunity to do zrika, not that he literally did it, but he had the opportunity to do zrika. So when it's called him, Shinira the Zrika Lan Mahi. Wait a minute. What's the case here that before Zrika Saddam, that you have a possibility that it's left over? I mean, that the only time that it can become Lina, the only time it can be left over, is if it was at one point, it became a Karban, a good Karban. The only way it becomes a good Karban is if you do Zrika Saddam. So what's the case here? So it's, they'll have you Shahut Beyom the Mizrike. So what's the case here? It's a case where you didn't have enough time left in the day to sprinkle the blood. Right, the shachtei samuch the shchita chama. He shechted the animal right by shchita chama. So now you have an animal that shechted. Hektei said shechted. Now you have basar that's left here. Ve'enu tamei tumat ochlim nachar shinir el zrika. Ve'enu tamei tumat ochlim. So in that case here, he shechted right before zrika, right before shchita chama. So there's no possibility of ever doing zrika tadam, because then it already becomes lina over that night, because once you shecht the animal that's kochim, and it has only one night to be eaten, like kochi kadashim, like a toda and asham, that have to be eaten that night, you can't eat it, because the zrika sadan never took place. On the other hand, by the morning, it's going to be notar. So this item never becomes ochel, according to Abishimon, and it'll never even come by tumat ochlim. On the other hand, la'achar shenira l'zrika lan, right, so if, what does it mean la'achar zrika sadan, means that, that he shechted it when there was still enough time to do zrika, even though you didn't do the zrika, but there was enough time to do the zrika, that's considered kazoruk tami, it's as if it was zaruk, and it's matami tumat ochlim, because then it became ra'ui, at some point it was ra'ui to be eaten, even though it becomes notar in the end, at that point it becomes ra'ui to be eaten, that is enough to be classified as ochel, and it can accept tuma alma. So from this we can conclude, we can see from this explanation of this braisa, that Rav Shimon clearly holds, kol omei lizruk kazoruk tami, that anything that is classified as if, meaning that if you were able to do the Zrika Saddam, it's as if the Zrika Saddam was done. And that's how Rabbi Shimon explains that case in the Braisa. Not literally that you did Zrika Saddam or you didn't do Zrika Saddam, but rather, if you had the opportunity to do Zrika Saddam, or you didn't have the opportunity to do Zrika Saddam. And that's the first opinion. We'll do the Chol Omei Liftol, Kefadu Dami. That'll be the Gemara. We'll discuss that in tomorrow's daf.